by her rouge. Do not taste her sherbet, which is mixed with poison. Have patience, for patience is the key to joy, lest like Farage, you fall into 100 straits. Her bait is visible, her trap is hidden.
Okay. Conclusion? You get it, the point that he said. Listen, remember this story? To remember that everything looks good before you try it. Are you supposed to try everything? That is the point. Be patient. Don't rush. Temptation is here. Be patient. Give it time. Yes?
Bait is visible, her trap is hidden. At first, her favor seems sweet to you. Explaining that this self-delusion was not to that Hindu alone. On the contrary, every human being is afflicted with a similar self-delusion at every stage, except those whom God has preserved.
Translation. Means that I'm sure you were busy listening to the story and what's happening, and you didn't realize why I'm telling you this story. This is not the story of that guy only. This is for everyone. Let me explain it to you, because this will happen to you. Yes.
Since you are attached to those, oh beware, how often will you sob piteously in repentance? The names princehood, vizierate, and kingship, hidden beneath them is death and pain and giving up the ghost. Be a slave and walk on the earth like a horse, not like a bier which is carried on the necks.
Did he make the point? Did you get the point? He said, listen, this is something that will happen to everyone. This is what it is. The name of his minister, prime minister, the king, the governor, means what? All of that will make you happy. And you're very glad to have a position. Whose life is in danger? Every morning, the people wake up. You could be an slave. You wake up and you have your life. Nobody is planning to kill you, because nobody wants to replace you. Nobody envies your situation. When you become some of those stuff, then your life is in danger, because everybody wants to take you down. Yes.
The ungrateful man wishes all people to carry him. They bring him like a dead rider to the grave. Mm-hmm. If you dream of anyone on a bier, he will become a high stirrup rider in office. Inasmuch as the coffin is a burden on the people, these grandees have laid the burden on the people.
Why these posties stuff is no good? Because who is being bad to the people? The governor. The one who is at the top will bother the rest. You never think like that. When you think to become the boss, you never think that, okay, so from tomorrow morning I have to punish all of these guys and push them and make them work hard and blah, blah, blah. You see, your attitude towards the others, is that a good attitude to have? Is that a good position to be in? This is what you should think about. Yes.
Do not lay your burden on anyone. Lay it on yourself.
You remember that in time of Rumi there is no card. So the rich fellow will be carried on the neck of some slaves. The slaves, they work like that, right? We say, don't be the one to sit on the neck of the other people. It looks good, yeah, and it feels good. But at the end of the day, you are a bad fellow. You are in a position who is doing wrong. Yes.
Do not be perpetually riding on the necks of people, lest gout attack your feet. The vehicle which you will curse in the end, say, thou resemblest a city, but thou art a ruined village. Curse it now, when it appears to you like a city, in order that you may not have to unload in the wilderness. Curse it now, when you possess 100 gardens, lest you become unable and devoted to the wilderness. The prophet said, if thou desirest paradise from God, desire nothing from anyone else.
He explained it. Look at the result, the outcome. So this, when you don't like it at the end of the game, do this at the beginning of the game. Don't pretend to become somebody like that. The solution is much easier. The prophet said, suddenly he will expand the meaning. You know what? There are two ways. Choose. Who are you asking for something? There are two places that you go. One is to the people to ask for something, and one is to ask the God. If you are asking something from God, you are not supposed to ask anything from anyone. Be satisfied. Why? When you're needing something, what do? You look around for someone who could do that for you. This and that and that and that. And you go from this person to the other person because this person cannot do it all for you. But God could do it all. There is no shortcoming over there to expand your sources. Your sources either could be Him or the people. Yes?
When thou desirest nothing, I am thy surety for the garden resort and the vision of God. Because of this suretyship, that companion became so independent that one day when he had mounted and the whip fell right out of his hand, he himself dismounted and did not ask anyone to give it to him.
As an example, I'm talking about this prophet guy, huh? He is riding and suddenly his whip will fall down. He doesn't say, hey, give me that. He is the prophet, everybody will do it. He himself will come down, pick it up, and remounts. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing. He is satisfied and complete and not needy. Yes.
He from whose gifts no evil cometh knows and himself will give it without any asking. But if you ask...
Have you noticed the difference? The difference is here you need something, you have to ask for it. When you need something from him, you don't need to ask. He knows, he doesn't need. So you don't go even to the mood of begging. You are quite comfortable because you know he will give you like he gave you everything you have. Yes.
But if you ask by God's command, that is right. Such asking is the way followed by the prophets.
The only way that this asking is not bad is the way the prophet will do it. Because he told them. Not because they need, they want. They are following orders, therefore they give. Do you remember at the beginning of this book he said, I'm giving you whatever I know, because I have to. I don't know if you follow or you accept or whatever. This is my duty. I do it because I love it. Because he told me to explain it to you. Yes.
When the beloved is signified, 'tis evil no more. Infidelity becomes faith when the infidelity is for his sake. Any evil deed prompted by his command surpasses the good deeds in the world.
Because he never does something wrong. He knows everything and he could do everything. Why should he do something wrong? He will do all it. This is the difference. When I'm relying upon him, I don't need to beg, I don't need to explain, and I'm not judging. If something arrives and it looks awful, what should I do? I don't care, because I know at the end of the day this is not awful. He's doing this because of a lot of stuff that I don't know, but it will happen like that. Yes.
Even if the skin of the oyster shell be damaged, do not curse it. For within it there are 100,000 pearls. This topic hath no end. Return to the king and become endued with the nature of the falcon. Like pure gold, return to the mine in order that your hands may be delivered from giving the ten. When they admit a phenomenal form into their hearts, in the end, they curse it in contrition. The repentance they show is like that of the moth. Forgetfulness draws them back again to the work. Like the moth, he deems the fire from a distance to be light and packs off towards it. As soon as he comes, it burns his wings and he flees. And again he falls, like children, and spills the salt. Once more, thinking and hoping to profit, he quickly dashes himself on the fire of that candle. Once more he scorched and recoils. Again, the greed of his heart makes him forgetful and intoxicating. At the moment when he recoils on being scorched, he gives the ten, like the Hindu, to the candle, saying, oh, thy face is splendid as the night illumining moon, but oh, in intercourse thou art false and destructive to him that is duped. Again his repentance and moaning go out of his memory, for God hath made the stratagems of the liars to be feeble.
Conclusion? A little bit confusing. He is making a point here which is not very clear. Is this that, okay, look at this butterfly. This butterfly looks at the